On our roster, our next guest is a star player. He's definitely not depth. It is Ian McIntyre, the triple threat. What's up, iMac?
Can you imagine being on waivers and for 24 hours? You have no idea, A, whether anyone in the world wants you, and B, if somebody does, is it a good thing depending on where you have to move to?
Yeah, Ian, it's called being single.
I can't remember what that was like.
I've been
married a long time.
Fair. You've got a long-term contract.
Happily married, right, Ian?
I do.
Happily married.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Did I not say that? Yes. Happily married.
Yes. I'd imagine those on waivers are just cracking back a couple of Earn Brews and Iron Brews and wondering if they'll get selected by somebody not Buffalo.
Well, if they're on waivers, they're probably having some whiskey in the Iron Brew. The Iron Brew is the mixer. You still fail, Riccio, to realize the full potential of Iron Brew. It's not this narrow little soft drink thing that tastes like rust. You can put alcohol in there.
Ooh, rusty alcohol, even better.
Angry iMac, I like it.
That's great.
I'm not angry. I'm just, he educates us all the time on how to say, Digiseppe. A simple thing like Iron Brew, figure it out, man.
He's tired of your ish, like we all are, Dan.
Hey, Sat's the one that's taking the DiGiuseppe onto the panel, okay? That's not me.
There was actually a Saturday Night Live skit once. I wish I could remember the details. I think it was Spanish names and at a restaurant, and it was non-Spanish speaking people. But whenever there was a Spanish name or word or phrase, they had full Spanish pronunciation. I think that would be pretty funny in hockey. With, like, if you had to say all the Swedish names like you're Swedish, and you said the American names based on where they're from, and most are from the Northeast or Minnesota. But those are different accents. Boston, you can do. Minnesota, you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, just think of Fargo.
Yep.
And, you know, you got now you have DiGiuseppe as well. It would be fun. I don't know how long it would be fun. Maybe less time than I've been speaking on the sentence, but I think it could be fun.
All right, it is the People's Show. Ian McIntyre, he's a presentation of Gateway Mechanical. Switch and save 10% or more on your commercial HVAC or refrigeration maintenance. Learn more today at gatewaymechanical.ca/switch. So when we look and we saw the roster play, the lines that Travis Green had go out today, it felt like something we could see potentially on opening night, maybe minus Brock Besser. Is that how you saw today's practice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is – Travis has been serious for a few days now about if anyone could feel the tension radiating off of him. He's been serious for a few days now about trying to get this team ready for October 13. And it's a big relief. It was a huge relief within the organization, obviously, to get Pettersson and Hughes signed and get them back in camp for the last 9 days. But now, as Travis said, there's a lot of catching up to do. And, we're past experimentation. I think you're still going to see, because not everybody can play, especially the guys who played on Tuesday. Not everybody's going to go two games in 72 hours. So you are going to see, I think, a slightly weaker lineup on Thursday. I think you're going to see the best of the Canucks' ability, their NHL lineup, on Saturday for the final preseason game. But we're past the point of experimentation. I think, you know, DiGiuseppe and Dowling are going to be on the team. JT Miller is going to be a center unless there's a real, change of heart by Green and the coaching staff here. Dickinson is going to center the fourth line, and you're going to have the three big centers playing in front of them. So yeah, they're trying to get this team ready. And that's why I think, going back to waivers, it's a great option if you're really thin on depth, but it's not really, depth isn't really where the Canucks are thin. What they need is a replacement for Travis Hammond. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be hard to find on waivers. So when they're looking, they'll be, can we upgrade Luke Shen? Is there somebody better than Luke Shen to play on the third pair. I don't think they're going to bring in an experienced guy, because I think the depth people, and I mentioned DiGiuseppe and Dowling, I think on defense that Hunt has shown really well. Rathbone has had a good camp, although he is prone to making mistakes. And even Oluyulevi, who had such an embarrassing start, I think has been solid. I don't think he's been great, but I think he's been good enough that you can, they'll keep looking at him here and make a decision. He could be on the team as well. So this pretty much is their NHL team. Hopefully Brock Besser gets healthy, and hopefully the two guys who missed the first 11 days of camp get up to speed in a hurry.
Well, you know, Ian, you're right about trying to find better players on waivers. I mean, we always talk about it and hear about it, but you know, even finding a replacement for Brandon Sutter is not going to be easy to be found on waivers. Centers who can take faceoffs on the right side and win them and kill penalties, they don't get put on waivers very often, right? So I think it's going to be hard for them to find better players. I think what's probably most up in the air is the defense, right? And we saw from the skate today, Brad Hunt with Kyle Burrows, no Oluyulevi there.
Right.
That's maybe the only real decision we're trying to wait to see crystallize. And would it be surprising if Kyle Burrows finds his way on this team ahead of Oluyulevi?
Well, I mean, it's tricky because it's not apples to apples, right?
Yeah.
One guy's on the right side where clearly they're weaker, so they have more opportunity there. One guy's on the left side. If they are keeping 4 and 4, because I had figured that with their tightness to the cap, they might just have one extra defense, especially since the minor league team is really close. And, you know, if you have an injury on opening night as before the team heads east, you know, it's easy to pick up another player. But I think now with the amount of players they're missing and the likelihood of other guys being on LTIR, it gives them the luxury to have 4 left side and 4 right, so an extra on each side. So if that's the case, I wouldn't be shocked to see Burrows as the fourth guy. I think he's had a very, very strong camp. I mentioned him on TV a couple of nights ago. But, Madison Bowie is still around, and we'll see who gets another game tomorrow night. But I think Burrows has had a very good camp. And you know, what it is you notice him each time he plays. And that's not always a good thing for depth defenseman, but you notice him in the right way. I mean, he's assertive, he's aggressive, his reads seem to be sharp, he seems to be arriving in the right place at the right time. And, I think he could be a depth option. But there again, that's where if they see somebody on waivers and they think maybe they can upgrade on Luke Shen. So, because I think the intent when Shen was signed, of course, they thought they were going to have Hamonic, so Shen would have naturally been the seventh guy or one of two extras if you're keeping two, and now he's going to be on the third pairing. So again, I think that's where they would be looking to see if there's somebody better than what they have. But I think Burrows has been good. I think Hunt's been good. I mentioned Oluyulevi, and Rathbone, I think, should be on the team. It sure looks every time the way they've practiced and his pairings in the game, who he's playing with in the game is always a potential NHL pairing. You know, he's not just, you know, filling time with somebody who's going to be in the minors. So I think Rathbone will be on the team as well, but it's still going to be interesting to see how Travis decides those final positions on the blue line and how many as well.
Yeah, and Burrows, he kind of reminds me of Alex Biega. You notice that intensity. There's a physical presence, and sometimes you notice him for the wrong reasons, but he's fully engaged in the game. There's not an off button on the player.
Yeah, and he skates well. You know, he gets around the ice. He seems to be able to do a little bit of everything. He can make a pass. He can skate. He showed last night that he is eager to engage and play physically, even though he's not the biggest guy. And, it seems to be, you know, a few tools in his toolbox. And if you're talking about extras and guys that you may carry so that if you have an injury, they plug in, he seems like maybe he'll be the kind of guy who can plug in. You can plug in, but he has only played, I believe it's, you know, a handful of NHL games, not a ton of experience, but he has had a good camp. And if if you go down the list, you know, before every training camp, you look at the new players, you think, well, who's going to be a surprise? Like, who's going to be the story of this camp and might be on the team at the end of it that you just never would have guessed at the start? Maybe Kyle Burrows is that guy this year.
Ian McIntyre, our guest. OEL Myers, do you think it can work?
Well, I think it may have to, you know, because Myers and Quinn Hughes didn't work very well in their limited sample last year. I think because Hughes is obviously the most gifted and offensive-minded defenseman on the team, it's natural that you would want to pair him with somebody that the team believes will excel defensively. And I think you'd take Poolman over Myers in that dynamic. And I just think the top four right now, and it, a lot depends on Rathbone because he is such a skillful prospect, but the top four looks so much stronger comparatively than, you know, the bottom four of whatever this defense is going to look like. And I mean, eight defensemen deep. So your third pairing and the extras, the top four just looks so strong that no matter who plays with whom, those four guys are going to play a lot. And I just think it makes sense to have Poolman with Hughes. So if you're going to do that and you're going to maximize those top four, then it has to be Myers and Ekman-Larsson. And, you know, I think that'll work as well. I think Ekman-Larsson has been one of the most impressive figures of this training camp. Now, it's not a surprise, but it's impressive that he seems so engaged and so committed to playing the way he has with his new team. He's such a smart two-way player. I don't know that anyone's ever regarded him as the defensive conscience on a pairing, but I think he's good enough defensively. And Myers, you know, is a good offensive, a good transition guy. I think that pairing could work, but they're going to have to figure out how to make it work because those four guys are going to play a lot.
Ian McIntyre is our guest, Sportsnet.ca, on TV and on radio, and you'll hear him very soon on the post-game show during the regular season. We look forward to that coming up very soon. And Ian, you are right. It kind of has to work there, right? Because if you all of a sudden can work with Poolman and Hughes, then if you have Shen or Rathbone or Shen or Hunt or whoever you put on that third pair, you can live with them in sheltered minutes and feel okay about it. The question is, how will Hughes and Poolman click? Based on everything we have seen from Poolman in preseason games and at training camp, Ian, I would believe that could be a partnership that could work because of the tools he has and just the traits that we've seen from Poolman so far. But will Quinn Hughes get both those games with Poolman, you think, to get up to speed?
Well, I think they'll try it tomorrow, and then they'll just see, you know, if everyone's still fresh, do it again on Saturday. But I think Poolman, he seems to be, and it's hard to really know guys who are new. I'm mm-hmm. just admitting that as a journalist. The way the access is now, you don't get a chance to just sit with a guy and have a conversation and really try to flesh out his thoughts on any topic. You know, it's questions behind a podium, so it's really hard to know. But Poolman does seem like the kind of defenseman who embraces a specific task. Like, we want you to do this really well. And if you do this, then we can have other people do that. He seems to be one of those guys who embraces the idea of you just be really good in your own end, you know, move the puck, obviously support the attack as well as you're able, but mostly just be good defensively. Help us to get the puck out of our zone and into the other team's zone. I think he embraces that role, and that certainly is the role that fits well. I mean, that's the Chris Tanev role, right? This is Chris Tanev, I'd say 2.0, what it would be what the Canucks are hoping, but maybe we're on to 3.0 because, you know, Nate Schmidt was here last year, and I don't know if Travis Hamonic was. I'm not sure who was the Tanev replacement last year, but this is essentially the role that they're looking for Quinn Hughes's partner, a Chris Tanev type. I know that Poolman isn't Chris Tanev. Tanev is an elite defender, and Tucker Poolman has not shown that he's an elite defender. But I think he is in that style where he takes a lot of pride in the defensive game. If he helps out offensively, it's a bonus. So I think he is going to be a good partner for Hughes. But like you guys, I wonder, okay, well, what does that mean around the rest of the defense? If you're going to put Pullman with Hughes, who does that leave for other players? I think that's the bigger challenge.
So you mentioned an SNL skit earlier. Of course, the Citizens of the People show were all over it. Here it is.
Excuse me, everybody. I'd like you to meet our new economics correspondent, Antonio Mendoza.
Is that how I sound?
Yeah. That was you, Riccio, wasn't it? Guys, that wasn't an SNL, but that was Riccio.
Pretty much.
Something along those lines. Thanks, iMac.
Pleasure being on with you fellas. Have a good weekend. I'll look forward to being on with you next week. And Sat?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready for the post game.
I know. Night. I can't wait. I can't
Randeep,
wait.
Randeep, you're being dragged into that too, are you?
I'm not on tomorrow.
I don't think we're doing that late tomorrow. It's the regular season. I think we're doing 2 hours. So okay. Once we get to that, yeah.
I'm getting in the extra sleeps now because, you know, I work so late on that regular season post-game show. But I'll look forward to it.
If I'm ever looped in on this, I'm ready for you, Ian. This is, you know, those that when, what was it, Sprite or Canada Dry? What'd you drink in the evenings there? What's your go-to drink?
Whatever was free and available. I'm all right.
Whatever is free, available, and helps keep you awake. Well, that's essentially what we
will have to bring some iron brews for.
If there's iron brew there, that would be epic.
That final segment of the post game show, a lot of shenanigans, analysis. It's a lot of fun. And so we look forward to getting that started again, Ian.
All right, guys. See ya.